ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ओम सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ श्रीमन्महागणाधिपतये नमः प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानैस्तु स्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभर्व्याप्यलोकान् प्रज्ञानां शुप्रतानैस्थिरचरनिकरव्यापिभर्व्याप्यलोकान् भुक्त्वा भोगान्स्थविष्ठान् त्वा भोगान्स्थविष्ठान् पुनरपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् रपि धिषणोद्भासितान् कामजन्यान् पीत्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् सर्वान् विशेषान् स्वपिति मधुरभुङ् स्वपिति मधुरभुङ् मायया भोजयन्नः भोजयन्नः माया संख्यातुरीयम् माया संख्यातुरीयम् परममृतमजम् परममृतमजम् ब्रह्म यत् तन्नतोऽस्मि ब्रह्म यत्तन्नतोऽस्मि यो विश्वात्मा विधिज विषयान् प्राश्य भोगान् स्थविष्ठान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् पश्चाच्चान्यान् स्वमति विभवान् विभवान् ज्योतिषास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् ज्योतिषास्वेन सूक्ष्मान् सर्वानेतान् पुनरपिशनै पुनरपिशनै स्वात्मनिस्थापयित्वा स्वात्मनिस्थापयित्वा हित्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् हित्वा सर्वान् विशेषान् विगतगुणगणः पात्वसो नस्तुरीयः विगत गुण गण पात्वसो नस्तुरियः पात्वसो पात्वसो नस्तुरियः स्तुरियः तुरियः नः पातु. So we will not forget the meaning of that. In this Advaita Prakaranam, Gaudapada Acharya beautifully shows that there is no such a thing called Jivaha. Therefore, we cannot talk about the creation of Jivaha. The creation of Jiva is not there. Therefore, this absolute reality implied by the term Atma or Brahma also is not the cause. Akaranatvam of Brahman has to be repeatedly remembered. So we were reminded already, even though in other Upanishads we do have a prakriya itself called Karanakarya Prakriya, where Brahman is presented as the cause, where causal status is attributed to Brahman, and the effects that is attributed to Jiva and Jagat, and analyzing it, there in other Upanishads we are helped to understand the fact finally that this Brahman is not the cause, universe is not the effect, there is nothing which is called effect here, there is no cause also. What is there is only Brahman, and that Brahman is the only truth of every individual. The individual is blessed with the capacity to discover that fact of oneself being non-separate from the Brahman, oneself being Brahman. In discovering which, one can discover one's freedom which is already there. One can take ownership of fullness of happiness which is already there as one's own nature. But here, the teaching is differently given here. Same teaching. All that is here is only the reality. Absolutely what is only the reality. There is no second thing other than the reality. Ekaha advitiyaha advaitaha atma evasti. All that is here is only one secondless non-dual atma, one secondless non-dual Brahma. And one has to see oneself being that Brahman. Aham Brahma asmi. Thereby one must be able to see all that is here is I am the whole. This must be the vision. This is the vision. This is the most abstract fact, verifiable. It is not a matter for belief. It is not non-verifiable matter for belief. It's a fact to be understood. It's a fact which can be verified, verifiable, but you need to be very sharp also. Because there's an absolute benefit is then discovering this fact. Therefore, Gaudapada Acharya's aim is to help us see absolutely what is only the reality. And that reality is what? Non-dual. So non-duality is the reality. That is his commitment. Therefore, he said already, he promised, no? Aham pravakshyami, aham vakshyami. I shall teach you that Brahma, which is not the cause, which is birthless, which is not an effect, because it is not born, it has no cause, nor is it a cause of anything else. Being a cause or being an effect means being subject to changes. And changelessness, yesterday I gave the order, you have to remember, this reality implied by the term Brahman is the most abstract, subtlest. Being the subtlest, It is absolutely of the nature of all pervasiveness. And because of all pervasiveness, motion is not possible. It's of the nature of motionlessness. We use the term, it is of the nature of. Know why? Why it is, that is how it can be. That is why it is of the nature of motionlessness. And because of this motionlessness, it is of the nature of changelessness. Undergoing a change means being subject to some motion, isn't it? So changelessness is the nature. Because it is of the nature of changelessness, definitely Brahman does not have the status of being the cause. You know, this Brahman is not the cause of anything. Because nothing cannot come into existence from Brahman because it is not the cause. Therefore what? There is no such a thing called jiva at all. And where's the question of creation of jiva? No jiva is not created. So, and make us understand that it is akasha. Atma is not akasha. Okay, atma is not the space. Atma is like this space. How? Space is the subtlest of the elements. And space is all pervasive. And is one, all pervasive, partless. Therefore, and being partless, this space, even though appears to have been divided, appears to be divided into many spaces, as pot space, kitchen space, etc., in keeping with the countlessness of enclosures. It seems to be having attributes. One space seems to be having attributes. Really, it only as though. So giving example of space, Gaudapacharya made it very clear for us, the birth of the jiva is like the birth of part space. We understand very clearly there is no such a thing called part space at all. It's only that which is said to be part space is only appearance of the space. Obtaining within a given enclosure. Space is not even within the enclosure. Space is outside the enclosure, inside the enclosure. The enclosure itself remains in the space. Therefore, there's no way of space being divided. Space cannot be, it's indivisible, undivided, partless. There's no such thing called part space. Therefore, we cannot talk about the origination of part space. It's only just an appearance. There's seemingly, there are many part spaces or many spaces with various attributes. Absolutely. What is one space, only space, only appearances. In the same way, what we mean by the term jivaha, jivaha, jivaha. And we say, just as this space is said to be mahan akashaha, and part space is said to be enclosed, space obtaining within an enclosure is said to be ghata. Space with an attribute as ghatakashaha. Such division is not there, really speaking. Where is the division? The difference is only from the standpoint of the enclosure. That is relative. That's not absolute. Absolutely there's no difference. Because for difference to be there, there may be two. There's only one. How can there be difference? That is why ghatakasha, mahanakasha are not two, one. In the same way, the truth obtaining in every individual, the truth, okay, otherwise said to be the truth of the whole as Paramatma, really speaking, Paramatma and Jivatma are not two. They are not different. There is no difference. Why there is no difference? If there are two, we can say talk about the difference. There's no difference. One. There's neither Paramatma nor Jivatma. There's only Atma. This Paramaha and Jivaha are relative qualifications, attributes. Relative qualifications attributed to the Atma from the standpoint of the enclosures, from the standpoint of, the upadhis, the limiting adjuncts. Otherwise, there is no difference. So the birth of the jiva is as good as the birth of the pot space. So here, what is implied by this term Brahman and Atma, the abstract reality, which is always understood in terms of its nature of pure consciousness, pure knowledge, pure awareness, is one indivisible, partless, undivided whole. Nothing can cause any division on the part of the Atma. It is Atma alone, Satyam, and all these the so-called enclosure-like body, minds and complexes are all as though. Therefore, the status jiva is also as though. The seeming jivas are seeming appearances of the only one and the only secondless non-dual reality, Atma, Brahma. Is it clear? This we have already understood. Okay. So we have seen here. Let's see the third karika, then we go to the fourth karika also. Atma hyakashavat jivaihi. Atma hyakashavat jivaihi. Ghatakashairivoditah. Ghatakashairivoditah. Ghatadivaccha sanghataihi. Ghatadivaccha sanghataihi. Jatau yetannidarshanam. Jatau vetannidarshanam. Jata vetanni darshanam. Jata vetanni darshanam. So, with regard to this origination of jiva, birth of the jiva, this is the appropriate, relevant example, illustration. Just as how one space exists in the form of many spaces, enclosed spaces. So also one Paramatma alone exists in the form of countless number of jivas. One Paramatma alone appears in the form of body, minds and complexes, like how one space alone is in the form of countless number of parts, etc. This is the literal meaning of the verse. Okay, fourth karika, we already explained yesterday. Ghatadishu pralineshu, ghatadishu pralineshu, ghatakashadayo yatha, ghatakashadayo yatha, akashe sampraliyante, sampraliyante, tadvajivaihatmani, tadvajivaihatmani. Why I want to read both these karikas together? Not only the origination of the jiva is negated, origination itself is negated. And where is the question of talking about the destruction or the resolution of jiva? Isn't it? Therefore, creation also is not there, means destruction also is not at all possible. Though there is no destruction also. But still, when this body, mind, sense, complexes, you know, being material products are subject to fall apart, death does happen on the part of the physical body because it does get disintegrated. Life does come to an end. Therefore, it is a cause of tremendous amount of pain. Therefore, we have to understand this fact also. What is that which is subject to death? Actually, what you are essentially Atma. You are Atma. Atma is birthless, unborn. Therefore, Atma is deathless also. Atma is subject to destruction also. Isn't it? There is no destruction of the Atma. You are Atma. Therefore, Atma is subject to destruction. Therefore, you are not subject to destruction. I am indestructible Atma. This is a fact. If this fact has been understood and assimilated, for one to be free from this fear of death, for one to be free from the very phenomenon called fear for good, which is freedom, isn't freedom from the hold of mind, which is absolute freedom, isn't it? Therefore, it has been repeated here, when, of course, pot is subject to fall, get broken. So, similarly, all the karyakarna sanghatas are subject to get resolved. When they resolve, what happens? Okay. Ghatadishu pralineshu, when this enclosure such as pot, etc., okay, become resolved or get destroyed, ghatakashadayah yatha, just as pot spaces or spaces up, the so-called space obtaining in various enclosures continues to remain as space without any being subject to any destruction, absolutely untouched by anything that happens to the enclosure. Space is not touched, tainted, afflicted, affected by whatever happens to the enclosure. This is a change. Even there, the enclosure, the pot, etc., only undergoes a change. Even getting broken or falling apart is only just undergoing a change. It is not total destruction at all. In the same way, ghatadishu pralineshu ghatakashadayah yata akashe sampraliyante. Akashe sampraliyante. The seemingly obtaining plurality of spaces, obtaining within plurality countless number of enclosures, resolve into their space. Means what? Remain as space. In the same way, tadvat jivaha iha atmani. The same way when body, mind and complexes fall apart also, all these so-called jivas remain as atma, one atma, resolve into the atma. Means what? There's no union, there's no merger, nothing happens. Atma remains as atma, without the temporary qualifications enjoyed as jivatma. That's all. Okay. This we have seen. We read the Bhashyam also. The last bit I had to see today. I'm coming to today's class. Sarvadeheshu. Page number 401. Who are following Panology's book. Sarvadeheshu. Atma ekatvam. Okay, no, sorry, before that. Sorry, page number 400. Yatha ghatadi utpatya ghatakashadi utpattihi. This is where I left yesterday. And last bit I have to explain to you. Yatha ghatadi utpatya ghatakashadi utpattihi. Just as due to the origination of the enclosure such as pot, etc., there is seeming origination of pot space, etc. There's no real birth, origination of pots, something called pot space. Or any, whatever attribute is given to the, you know, the space. There's no such a thing called pot space or room space or kitchen space. There's no such space with many attributes. There's just one space. And those attributes are seemingly superimposed upon the space from the standpoint of the enclosures obtaining in the space. And similarly, yatha va ghatadi pralaye, yatha va, just as ghatadi pralaye, when there is resolution of these enclosures such as pot etc. happens also, ghatakashadi pralayaha, there is resolution of this pot space etc., which means, does pot space really resolve into total space? There's no real resolution, the seeming resolution, just as the seeming origination of pot space from the standpoint of the enclosure called pot etc. So also there is seeming resolution of the pot space. The pot, the space does not have that attribute as pot space anymore. Ghatakashadi pralayaha tadvadu. Tadvad is very important. Tadvad. We are interested in knowing about the space, okay? The tadvad. In the same way, like that, dehadi sanghata utpatya. Dehadi sanghata utpatya. Due to the origination or birth of this being, the body, mind, sense complexes, which are composite of elements, okay, put together, etc. Jiva utpattihi, there is a seeming birth or origination of jivas only due to the origination of the body, mind, sense complex. And jivanam iha atmani pralayaha. In the same way, there's also resolution of jivas into the atma when the body, mind, sense complexes fall apart. When there's resolution of body, mind, sense complexes. Which means there's only seeming origination, there's seeming destruction. Seeming resolution. We don't want to use the word destruction at all. There's no destruction. Why? Because whenever the body, mind, sense complexes, you know, fall apart, when the death happens, the body falls apart, immediately the person is not available for interaction, not available for enjoyment, not available for, you know, fighting or quarreling or enjoying the company, pleasure. No. Because this non-availability for enjoyment interaction is mistaken for non-existence, mistaken to be total destruction. Really speaking, absolutely, Atma remains as Atma. There's no destruction at all of the Atma. Therefore, what he, the last word, Nasvataha. Nasvataha means what? See, the space does not, there's no real origination of space. There's no real destruction of space. In the same way, there's no real birth of jiva, there's no real dissolution or death of the jiva. Doesn't happen by itself. The seeming birth, the seeming origination, the seeming resolution or the seeming destruction also happens only because of the resolution of the physical, I mean, the material aspects, the body, mind, sense complexes. Naswataha. There's no real origination of part space. There's no real destruction of part space. Isn't it? Only seeming origination, seeming destruction, resolution of space. Only because of this origination of the part, the enclosure, and the resolution of the enclosure. In the same way, it's only because of the origination of the body mansions complex, there's a seeming origination of the jiva. Only because the resolution of the body mansions complex, there's a seeming resolution of the jiva. Otherwise, naswataha, by itself, there's no birth at all. Even seeming birth also is not possible without this body mansions complex. There's no such a thing called origination, creation or destruction of the Atma. That is the fourth verse. Okay. We'll go to the fifth karika today. And be ready, okay? Little we have to use our thinking. Sarvadeheshu. Shankara Bhagavatpada introduces the fifth karika. How does he introduce? Sarva deheshu atma ekatva ekasmin janana marana sukadimati atmani sarvatmanam tat sambandha kriya pala sankaryam cha syaditi cha ahuhu dvaitinah tan prati idam uchyate. Don't worry, let me explain to you. See, Shankara Bhagavatpada says that Gaudapada Acharya assumes the doubt all of us have. All of us, we are simple people. We all think what? I am different from you, you are different from me, he is different from me. All of us are different. Yes, relatively we are different. But absolutely we are non-different. But we do not know how we are non-different. Okay, what is more right is what? Absolutely we are non-different. The absolute fact is not known by us, known to us. But relatively, what is relatively real is known to us. And what is relatively real is mistaken to be absolutely real. This is the problem, isn't it? The seeming reality, what is seemingly real, is taken to be absolutely real by us. And we think we are all different from each other. We are relatively different from each other, no doubt. We cannot deny that. But absolutely we are all not different. All are one essentially. All are different from the standpoint of the upadis, the body, mind, sense complexes. We are different. That's why our experiences are different. When I have headache, you don't get headache. When you are hungry, I cannot go and eat for you. You have to eat. Our experiences are different. The upadis are different. No doubt. Relatively, there is difference. Absolutely, there is non-difference. And Gaudapada's aim is to help us understand the absolute non-difference. We do not study Shastram to understand that we are different from each other. Do we need to study Shastram to understand that we are all different from each other? No. Shastra study is for understanding something what we do not know. Okay. So absolute non-difference has to be understood. In understanding which there is some relief. Therefore we want to understand. There's a benefit. Because we are not fools to waste our time to understand something which is useless. We are come and sit here, give our time, energy, you know. And want to understand. Shastra study is for understanding what we do not know. Relatively there's difference, we already know this. What we think, okay, in you, our experiences are different, our upadis are different, therefore, the jivas also must be different. Jivas means what? Atmas also must be different. There are different Atmas. In you one Atma, in me one Atma, in you him one Atma. There are so many Atmas. In keeping with the countlessness, in keeping the innumerability of the body, mind and its complexes, there are countless number of jivas. And not only countless here, innumerable. What about other living beings? Countless, innumerable, countless number of living creatures. Mosquito onwards. It includes amoeba, isn't it? All these living beings are countless. In every living being there is Atma, innermost essence. All the plants, if you take, it's just mind-boggling. So many Atmas must be there. Understand? Atmas must be many. Atmas are many. It's called plurality of Atmas. Plurality of the Purushas. This is the overview. And what shall we think? If Atma is one, in you, in me, in him, in her, there is only one Atma, then this is our understanding. Then if Atma knows everything, then I must know everything. We say Atma is source of all knowledge, omniscient, then I must be omniscient. And when you get headache, I must get headache. Not one person gets headache. Atma is one. If you say Atma is one, Atma cannot be one. If Atma is one, then all of us, one person gets headache means entire humanity will get headache. And even headless plants also must get headache. We can't say headless, no? They also have their own head. All creatures must. If you are vomiting, all you will be vomiting. If you are suffering, you are in pain, emotional pain, all other beings must have the suffering. If you are happy, all of them must be laughing and happy. But all of us are not doing the same. Some are happy, some are unhappy, some are sick, some are. These differences. Because of the differences in experiences, it's a simple assumption is what? We don't know what Atma is. We assume Atmas must be many. Based on our experiences. Isn't it? Okay, not only we simple people think, there are great philosophers. Okay, there are great philosophers. Philosophers of Sankhya system of philosophy, Yoga system of philosophy, Nyaya system of philosophy, Vaisheshika system of philosophy, all these great philosophers of different schools of thought, even though they have difference, they differ in their views, that's why they call different schools of thought, even though they all differ in their views, but with reference to this one idea, they all join together. They all form a coalition party. Okay? The single government, single person party, Advaiti. They all join together. And they say, what? No. They all of the same view. Atmas are many. Atmas are many. So here, of all of them, who comes very close to Advaita? Not, who comes somewhere near Advaita, little bit, is Sankhya philosopher. Still completely different. We can't even say comes near. Sankhya system of philosophy. Their view, okay. So, he first takes, Shankar Bhagavad takes, not Shankarabha, Gaudapada Acharya in his Karikas, he thought it's enough if he attacks one person. If he refutes his view, it's enough. All other views also become refuted. Of all the four of them, the Sankhya philosopher is like, the He is the Prathama Malla. You know, very more powerful wrestler and champion wrestler. So he thought, let me leave other, he's going to discuss other Sankhya also, other schools also. But first he thought, let me knock off this best champion wrestler. And then others, he's a champion, you know, others are as good as knocked off. So he first takes the Sankhya's view. Okay, and he clarifies, by way of refuting the Sankhya philosopher's view, he clarifies, he clears the cobwebs in our mind that atmas are many. No, there are not many atmas. Okay, he clarifies this doubt. Okay, let us understand, at least even though we do not study the whole Sankhya system of philosophy, let us have little understanding of their views. According to Sankhya Matam, when you say Matam, it is not a vision of the fact. Matam itself means a contention view. When you say contention, it is subject to differ from person to person. View is subject to differ from person to person. And it must have its standpoint also. Isn't it? Therefore, Sankhya Matam, according to Sankhya Matam, Atma is not one, Atmas are many. Countless. In keeping with the countlessness of the upadis, atmas are many. And atmas are known as purushaha. Atmas are known as purushaha. And each purushaha is of the nature of consciousness. Don't memorize this, okay? Wait, this is what unnecessarily understanding something incorrect thing. And then just to knock off. Understanding something incorrect is to understand that it's incorrect. It's not correct. So this Purusha, each and every Purusha is of the nature of consciousness. And Purusha is all pervasive. Don't ask me why and all. This is what I am just telling you. And this Purusha happens to be consciousness, all pervasive, is untainted. Asangaha. Untainted asangaha means untouched, untainted by anything. And here, Prakriti, this Prakritihi or Pradhanam. They don't use the Maya, but Prakritihi or Pradhanam is one. Prakriti is only one. And this Prakriti alone contributes for the enjoyment of pairs of opposites. Which means, according to this Sankhya Matam, Sankhya system of philosophy, this Atma, known as Purushaha, is a non-doer. Is a non-doer. Akarta. But this Atma is enjoyer. Atma is enjoyer. Atma is not the doer, But Atma is the enjoyer. Enjoyer of what? Enjoyer of all pairs of opposites. Enjoyer of freedom, enjoyer of bondage, experiencer of bondage. Atma is bhokta, but not karta. And for this Atma to be, to enjoy the experiences, Prakriti helps. So Prakriti helps. And Prakriti, otherwise known as Pradhanam, is of the nature of inertness. Prakriti is of the nature of inertness. Because it is of the nature of inertness, it cannot do anything by itself. The Prakriti is dependent on these jivas, sorry, not jivas, not the purushas, purushas, the atmas, for its activation. Prakriti is dependent on purusha for its activation. So purusha or the atma, which is of the nature of consciousness, by its mere existence, it activates the prakriti. And this prakriti, which is activated by the existence of purusha, contributes for the enjoyment of pairs of opposites for purusha. You activate me, I will give you enjoyment. That is how, okay? That's how it looks. I'm just telling you, okay? This is it's a basic, it's all kindergarten understanding of Shankya. That's enough. That's more than enough. And we have to refute them here itself. And then this Prakriti, originally, I mean, the Prakriti is constituted of, Prakriti is also endowed with the three gunas. Three gunas, sattva gunaha, rajo gunaha, tamo gunaha. And all these three gunas remain in equilibrium. Originally, the Prakriti constituted of, consisting of three gunas, remain in equilibrium. And the equilibrium is sometimes disturbed. Who disturbs the equilibrium? Not purusha. All karmas of all purushas. Don't ask me when and all. Just whatever I'm saying, you have to just take it. All karmas of all purushas, okay, samashti karma of all purushas, sometimes disturb the equilibrium. Once the equilibrium is disturbed, then the creation is set in motion. As a result of which first comes the buddhi, mahattattvam. Mahattattvam comes first from the sattvic aspect. Yeah, first comes mahattattvam. Then from mahattattvam comes ahankara. Don't need to worry, just you can ahankara. Then from sattvika ahankara comes cosmic mind. and Rajasahankara comes, all totality of subtle powers, all subtle powers, Karmendriyani, Jnanendriyani, they all come. And this, the Purushas are not the doer. Purusha is not a doer. But poor Purusha has to enjoy, is the experiencer. So the Purusha, it is Prakriti enables Purusha enjoy pain, pleasure, all pairs of opposites. Bondage, freedom, everything. This is some understanding, okay? It's a basic understanding. With this, we are going to see the verse now. See, if this is their view, this is what the view they have. So, Shankar Bhagavatpada says, this, okay, already such doubt, okay, even though they think a lot and they talk so much about it, and simple people, we are not even great philosophers, but still we all have this understanding what there is Atma inside all of us. If Atma is one, our experience must be uniform. But our experiences are not uniform. Different experiences we have. And the different timings we have. What I experienced last month in India is different from what I experienced now here. The experiences differ in time, in keeping with the time, there's difference of experiences and place, different place in different, okay, a different, in different places, at different timings, different beings have different experiences. Therefore what? Purushas, the experiences, enjoyers are many. The way they say Purusha is an experiencer, enjoyer, but not doer. Okay, therefore, we also think that way. Therefore, he says, Sarva Deheshu. Atmaikatvam, Atmaikatve. Means what? If or when there's oneness of Atma in all the bodies, we understood very clearly before, okay? Just as there's only space in all the seeming enclosures. Atma is one in all the body mind complexes. So if sarva deheshu atma ekatve, if there is oneness of the Atma.
401.
Yeah, I'm reading the Bhashyam part. It's an introduction to the following verse. Fifth month, Karika. Ekasmin janana marana sukhadimati atmani. This Atma is janana marana sukhadiman. Atma has what now? The Atma, the Purusha, has birth, has death, and also has what? Sukham, experience of pain and pleasure, etc. Sukhadimati Atmani. Ekasmin janana marana sukhadimati Atmani means when one jiva, sorry, one Purusha, I don't know the word jiva comes, one Purusha, one Atma has the birth, death, or any experience of pleasure, pain, etc. Then, sarvatmanam tat sambandha. Then we what now? All beings also will have the same experience. One Atma is born means all Atmas must be born. One Atma dies means all Atmas must die. If one Atma has pain, all Atmas must have pain. One Atma has pleasure, all Atmas must have pleasure. If Atma is one. Okay, if Atma has status of being one in all the bodies, then when one atma goes through these experiences, has this birth, death, etc. Then sarvatmanam tat sambandha, all the beings will have the connection with all those experiences of one individual atma. Then what happens? The palam, kriya pala sankriyam. Then sankriyam means mixing up. You know, the word sankara you came across in, not shankara, in Bhagavad Gita. Jayate vanna sankaraha sankaro naraka eva. In Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapter, you come across the word sankara, not shankara, sankara. Shankara means bestower of auspiciousness. This is different. Bhagavan Shankara. Lord Shiva Shankara, Shankara Acharya. But here, Sankara. Sankaraha means mixing up. Sankariyam, noun. Okay, mixing up. So, Kriyapala Sankariyam means what? There will be mixing up of actions and their results. If only one Atma is permitted. If you eat, I must be eating. All of us must be eating. If you sleep, all of us must be sleeping. So there will be confusion, isn't it? Kriyapala, mixing up of actions. Then palani also. And if you do something, and if one atma accumulates punyam, that'd be nice. All atmas can share the punyam. One atma does papam, okay, that papam also will be shared by all, isn't it? That's called a mixing up of punyams and papam, punya, papam, reactions, the results of actions. It's all confusion, my God. Your papam, I must suffer. Okay, my punyam you can enjoy. How is it? It would be nice. Therefore, kriyapala sankaryam chasyat. This will be the problem. Iti, because of this reason, this is the reason, okay, why they say plurality, why people accept this, all these systems of, all these schools of thought accept the plurality of atmas because of this reason. Iti, ahuhu, who, this is what people say. Who say? Who are the people? Dvaitinaha. This Shankar Bhagavatpada, you know, puts all these people, different schools of thought, and one category as dualists, dvaitinaha. Sankhya philosopher, yoga philosopher, nyaya philosopher, vaisheshika, all these philosophers are dualists, dvaitinaha. All these people, the dvaitinaha, okay, all of them are of the same view, atmas are many. Atma is not one. If Atma is one, and how can we account for this? Okay. The difference in experiences. Difference in punya papams. Some people accumulate papam, some people accumulate punyam, some enjoy the result of punyam, some enjoy the experience of papam. Isn't it? We say, you are parabdha, what can we do? You go through your parabdha. It is my punyam, I enjoy this. Isn't it? We all these things. So we talk all these things, which means atmas must be many and they must be different. So that if you say one, oh my God, there will be this big problem of not being able to account for different, this mixing up of punya papams. Therefore, Atma is not one, Atma is many, Atmas are many. Iti ahuhu. There will be the problem of mixing up of actions and the results, punyapam, etc. Therefore, dvaitinaha ahuhu. Okay, this, the dvaitins, all these dvaiti dualists say this. And tan prati idam uchyate. So this fifth karika is presented as reply to such dualists. Understand? Fifth karika presents answer for those dualists. Okay. Let us read the fifth karika now. Yathaikasmin ghatakashe Yathaikasmin ghatakashe. So even when we start reading the karika, we have been relieved. Why? He has an answer. This is called mananam, isn't it? It's called clarification of doubts. Why we study this bhashyam, etc. Now, we have understood certain facts, the possibility of doubts. Those doubts have to be resolved. So that understanding, we have certain understanding, is doubtful understanding. The doubtful understanding must become doubt-free, clear understanding. And whatever we do for clarifying our doubts and us making our understanding clear is called mananam. Okay. And we are not doing mananam independently. We are doing with the help of great Acharya, known as Gaudapada Acharya, and another Maha Acharya, Shankaracharya. So, Shravanam must be done with the help of the teacher. Mananam also must be done with the help of the teacher. After Shravanam and Mananam, you have clear doubt-free understanding. Then you don't need a teacher. Then you can dwell upon the clear understanding independently and you can ascertain it. That's why Nididhyasanam can be done independently. Shravanam and Mananam must be done with the help of the teacher. Okay? Yathaikasmin ghatakashe, yathaikasmin ghatakashe, rajodhumadibhiryute, na sarve samprayujyante, samprayujyante tadvajjivasukhadibihi. Okay. If people have made wrong conclusions and based on erroneous logic, reasoning, and the error in their fallacy in their reasoning must be pointed out to show that their views are wrong. That's what he is going to do now. Okay. First he says, assuming the doubt on the part of the student, like the people of erroneous views, other Advaitins, here he gives this teaching. Yatha yekasmin ghata akashe. Yekasmin ghata akashe. Just as when one given part space, when there is rajaha dhumadibihi yute, when one given part space is endowed with, or when one given part space has rajaha dust, dhumaha smoke, etc. When one given part space is associated with some dust and smoke, etc. Sarve ghatakashaha na samprayujyante. All other part spaces do not get dirty, do not get smoky, do not become dusty. Sarve na samprayujyante, all their part spaces also do not become associated with dust and smoke. Isn't it? Now kitchen has various flavors. Kitchen space has different flavors there. And here we have nice fragrance. Of course, that's also nice. This appetite, that causes appetite, isn't it? Appetizer smells. And here we have divine, all smells, the camphor and incense stick. The two different spaces. Hall space, whatever is, wall space has this fragrance. Kitchen space has smells of spices. Different, isn't it? That kitchen smell, spices smell does not become the smell of the hall space. And here this fragrance obtaining in this hall space doesn't become the fragrance of the kitchen space. When one given pot space is endowed with, it has this smoke or dust, all the pot spaces do not become associated with smoke and dust. Sarvena samprayujyante tadvat, in the same way, jivaha sukhadibhi, all jivas do not become associated with all forms of pairs of opposites such as pleasure, etc. If there is experience of pleasure on the part of one individual being, there is no experience of pleasure on the part of all individual beings. If there is one individual being goes through the experience of pain, all individuals do not get simultaneously the experience of pain. So the experience of pairs of opposites differs from person to person, place to place, time to time. There is difference. So such a thing is not there. So what? Atmas are not many. For this experiences to be different, atmas need not be many. There need not be plurality of atmas, plurality of purushas, for the purpose of having difference in experiences. That is their view. The reason, because of the difference in experiences, there must be plurality of purushas. So here Acharya says, no, there's only one Atma. Atma being one also. Only secondless non-dual Atma being there also. Still, there is difference in experiences. There is no, isn't it? There is no sameness of experiences everywhere. So that is the simple literal meaning of this verse. Tadvat jivaha sukhadibhi na samprayujyante. All jivas do not become associated with the experience of pairs of opposites, pain and pleasure, etc. When one given person is going through the pairs of opposites, any experience of pain and pleasure. Okay. Yatha ekasmin ghatakashe rajo dumadibhi yute. So Shankara Bhagavad Pada repeats the same in his commentary. He repeats the same sentence. Yatha ekasmin ghatakashe rajo dumadibhi yute. Yute means sanyukte. When one given pot space is associated with dust, smoke, etc. Sarve ghatakashadayaha. All enclosures such as pot space, etc. Rajodhumadibihi na sanyujyante. They do not become affected. They do not become tainted. They do not become associated, connected with dust, smell, etc. Smoke, etc. Tadvat, in the same way, jivaha sukhadibihi. So Shankar Bhagavata does not write anything, does not correct anything here. Only one word he adds, sayukte, that's all. So one person's experience of pain or pleasure does not become the experience of, definitely, experience of pain, pleasure of other person. The difference in experience of pairs of opposites, differences or difference in the experience of pairs of opposites, does not require the plurality of atmas. This is his point. Having said that, now, when he teaches this, and in the class one person must be, here first student who's asking question is Sankhya. Okay? So the Pura Paksha means the one who objects this view. We don't take a great opponent. Here objects is the Pura Pakshaha. He says, Nanu Yekaha Yevatma. Nanu Yekaha Yevatma. Oh, you mean there's only one Atma? Only one Atma in all the beings? There must be many. My human place. The Advaita is Badam. Yes. Nanu Nashutam. What? Has it not been heard by you? Earlier it was taught. The oneness of Atma was already taught. How space is one. Space appears to be many. Not really. It was taught already. Nanu Nashutam. Hasn't been heard? Bottom. Yes. Self, Atma is one. Was it not heard by you? Tvaya. Akashavate Sarvasanghateshu Yekaha Yeva Atma iti. Sarvasanghateshu Sarveshu Sanghateshu. In all the body, mind, sense complexes, only one Atma. Just as it's only one space in all the enclosures such as pot, etc. There's only one Atma in all the body, mind, sense complexes. That is what taught already. That's what explained already. Have you not heard it? Nashrutam. Has it not been heard by you? That's the exact translation. He's asking. Then Purupakshi comes. Yeah, that is what you said. Atma is one. When you it was very clear, you know. You can't say no clear. It was very clear. Yes, space is not born. True. You know, there's no birth of a part space. There's no death of a part space. There's no resolution of part space. Space is one. Understood. But here, it is difficult to understand. Atma is one. No way. Yadi yekaha yeva atma tarhi sarvatra sukhi dukhi cha syat. If atma is only one atma in all the body, mind, sense complexes, then he must be sukhi everywhere simultaneously. He must be experiencing happiness, pleasure everywhere simultaneously. And he must be the experiencer of pain everywhere simultaneously. Maybe only one experiencer of pain everywhere, all in all times, in all places, in all the beings, there will be one experiencer of pleasure. There will be one experiencer of pain simultaneously. But that is not our experience. Isn't it? There's so many experiences of so many situations in so many places, so many timings, at different timings, different places, and so many experiences. So there must be so many experiences. And the experiences are all Atmas, Purushas. Therefore, he continues. This is the Purupakshi. He doesn't say much, you know, only one sentence he stops. Purupakshi. So Shankar Bhagavatapada's answer comes. Answer comes in page number 402. So Shankar Bhagavatapada wants to point out the fallacy in his view, how he contradicts with his own view. Sankhya philosopher contradicts his own view. How? Na. First he says na. Na means what? Yes, Atma is one, but that does not mean Atma becomes the experiencer of all, you know, simultaneously becomes the only experiencer in all the body mansions complexes. Atma is one, but Atma does not become the experiencer of the pairs of opposites simultaneously in all the body mansions complexes. Even though without the Atma, experience is not possible. There cannot be something called experiencer at all without the Atma. Without the blessing of Atma, presence of Atma, there cannot be experienced pairs of opposites, of course. But still, the differences in experiences of pairs of opposites on the part of countless number of beings does not require the plurality of Atma, multiplicity of Purushas. So he says, Na, that's the answer, that's the meaning of the word Na. Now, cha, and idam sankhya chodyam na sambhavati. Idam sankhya chodyam na sambhavati. Idam na sambhavati. The word sambhavati literally means happens. This doesn't happen. What does it mean? This doesn't happen means this is not appropriate. This doesn't happen implies this is not appropriate on the part of a Sankhya philosopher to have such a question, such a doubt. Chodyam means enquiry. Okay? This question is not appropriate on the part of a Sankhya philosopher. Why? Use answer. Sankhya Atmanaha Nahi Sankhya Atmanaha Sukadukkadimattvam Ichyati. See, Sankhya philosopher is very of the strong view that Atma is asangaha. So look at this. Atma is asangaha. If Atma is asangaha, that is the view of Asankhya philosopher. Atma cannot be tainted by what? Anything, pleasure and pain. Therefore, Sankhya Atmanaha Sukadukkadi Matvam. Sorry, Sankhyaha. Sankhyaha Atmanaha Sukadukkadi Matvam Na Ichyati. Sankhya philosopher Sankhyaha Na Ichyati. Mean what? Sankhyaha Na Ichyati means Sankhya philosopher does not like. Does not like means does not accept. Sankhya philosopher does not accept the Atma having the experience of pain and pleasure. Sankhya philosopher, by his own view, does not accept Atma having the experience of pain and pleasure. What does it mean? Atma is asangaha, unattached. So Atma is untainted. I was supposed to be untainted by anything. Yeah. Bhokta is experiencer, they say, isn't it? They say Atma is the Bhokta, Atma is experiencer. Okay. Coming. Atma is experiencer, they say. Atma is asangaha also, they say. I'll tell you. When we come to our own teaching, then I'll make it very clear. Okay, you'll enjoy it. Don't worry. You must know all these things to see how clear, crystal clear here the teaching is. Isn't it? That's why in the very beginning I said, there cannot be experiencer without Atma. There cannot be experience without Atma. There cannot be experienced pairs of opposite without Atma. But Atma is not experiencer. Atma is not experience. Atma is not experienced object. That we are going to understand later on. That is our understanding. That is the understanding of the fact. You can see how that teaching does not contradict your reasoning also. You will see that. But here, Sankhya philosopher is of very strong view, Atma Asangaha. That many Atmas, all Atmas are Asangaha. See, Atmas are many, and each Atma is Purushaha, and each Atma as a Purusha is of the nature of consciousness, and is all pervasive, and it is asangaha. These are the view. Therefore, even in keeping with his own view, you cannot say Atma is asangaha, Atma asangaha, and Atma goes through the experience of pain and pleasure. Therefore, Sankhyaha Atmanaha Sukadukkadi Matvam Naichyati. Sankhya does not like, does not accept, does not admit Atma having the pleasure and pain. Okay. Why? It says, Buddhi Samavaya Abhyupagamat. He was with the reason also. Buddhi Samavaya Abhyupagamat. See, Buddhi Samavaya Abhyupagamat. And according to him, Buddhi Samavaya Abhyupagamat Sukadukkadinam. See, Sankhya philosopher is also of the view that there is connection, you know, Buddhi. It is the Buddhi, it is the mind alone has the connection with all these pairs of opposites. Sukadukkanam Buddhi Samavaya Abhyupagamat. See, it is the mind alone, all these pairs of opposites, all these pain, pleasure, all the emotions, they all belong to the mind. Mind alone, they are associated with the mind. All emotions, pain, pleasure, all these, are associated with the mind. This is their understanding. Buddhi samavaya abhyupagama sukha dukkhadinam. So what is here, Shankara Bhagavatpada just doesn't say anything. He only brings to light his view. According to Sankhya Matam, the pairs of opposites, all emotions, you know, are associated with the mind. Mind alone has connection. It's all mind. And Atma is Asangaha. So they do not accept Atma having the experience of pain and pleasure. The Asangaha means that is the meaning. Holding on to this view, and he points out, you contradict that Sankhya philosopher contradicts his own view. See, just because our experience of difference in experience of pairs of opposites, he can't simply say Atmas are many. One way he says what, from one view is Atma Asangaha. Is all these emotions, all these pairs of opposites belong to the mind. This is another point, another view he says. Therefore, if this is your view, this is your view of the mind, this is your view of pairs of opposites. Okay? He has to say now, what is pain? What is pleasure? What is jealousy? What is hatred? What is anger? He says all mind. It's all mind. Means mind alone has connection with all these things. And what is Atma? Consciousness. Asangaha. Holding on to this view, he also says what? Atma must be many. Because there's difference in experiences. Are you following? Sit dry. Don't worry. We are going to see something very beautiful later on. Nacha upalabdhi swarupasya atmanaha beda kalpanayam pramanam asti. This is another very important point. So pointing out his own views, and then, okay, therefore pointing out the contradiction in his own view. Now, Shankaracharya says, upalabdhi swarupasya atmanaha beda kalpanayam pramanam nasti. The poor Sankhya philosopher does not have a valid, you know, pramanam for proving, no evidence, has no proof, no pramanam for the plurality, for plurality of this Atma, which is in the form of pure consciousness. Upalabdhi swarupaha Atma. Very beautiful word. Upalabdhi means that which is always available. Knowing. Upalabdhi swarupaha means the reality which is ever of the nature of consciousness. Is upalabdhi swarupa. Atma is ever of the nature of consciousness. He also says Atma is of the nature of consciousness. Atma is consciousness for him. Therefore, upalabdhi swarupasya atmanaha beda kalpanayam pramanam nasti. So Sankhya philosopher who talks about the plurality of Atmas, who also is of the view of Atma being consciousness, does not have any proof, any evidence for establishing the plurality of, for assuming the plurality of Atmas throughout every Atmadi consciousness. There's no proof. He must have some evidence, some pramanam. There's no evidence. We will see. I'll talk about later on. So, upalabdhi swarupasya atmanaha beda kalpanayam pramanam na pramanam. Is it clear? So, even though he says this, he has no authentic means of knowledge, evidence for this, for assuming the plurality of Atma, the consciousness. This is the reply for the Purapakshi. What was Purapakshi? Doubt was, you must remember. Okay. Now he continues. Beda abhave pradhanasya pararthyam anupapattihi. This one line is actually presents the view of Purapakshi. So Shankara Bhagavatpada himself says, you may have this thinking, you know, he says, you may have this thinking. If at all you have this thinking, this is my answer. Beda abhave. If there is absence of difference between the atmas, if there is no plurality of atmas, then there is anupapattihi, there is impossibility of the parārthyam of pradhanam. Let me make it very clear. See, pradhanam for him, pradhanam or prakriti is one. And pradhanam has parārthyam. Parārthyam literally means, don't take literal meaning, okay? Altruism. Parārthyam means altruism. But here parārthyam means what? The prakriti, which is inert, it's of the nature of inertness. It cannot do anything by itself. So what is the purpose of something called prakriti being there? Prakriti is here. What is the purpose? Isn't it? What is it for? The prakriti's presence must be for something. Isn't it? The Sankhya philosopher has this view, okay? If we deny the plurality of atmas, then prakriti's job, you know, will be meaningless. Prakriti's parārthyam means prakriti contributes for the experience of pleasure and pain. It is prakriti which gives sukham for atma, dukkham for atma, it gives pairs of opposites for atma. So all these experience of pairs of opposites, prakriti enables. Prakriti gives for atma. Therefore, pradhanasya parārthyam means prakriti's activity. Prakriti's activities in terms of giving pain, pleasure, etc. Okay, etc. will not be possible if there is no plurality of atmas. There's only one atma. How can prakriti give, prakriti have the fun of giving some people pleasure, some people pain, some people success, some people failure? Isn't it? Of course, prakriti alone is there, no? Apart from atma, but it's only prakriti. And prakriti is of the nature of inertness. And Prakriti alone contributes for the experience of pairs of opposites. All emotions, see, experience and enjoyment of varieties of, like what you go through mentally, isn't it? All that, who decides? Who contributes for it? Prakriti. So this is called Prakriti is Pararthyam. Prakriti alone, isn't it? By its mere presence, na, being, Prakriti being activated by consciousness, and creating the universe, contributing to the enjoyment of objects, experience of the objects, contributes for the experience of pairs of opposites also. All this Prakriti does. For whose sake? For the sake of Atmas. That's why Prakriti is said to be of the altruism. Okay, not altruism. I'm just joking. The literal meaning is altruism. The Prakriti, Pararthyam means, it is very there just to give the experience for Atma. Yeah. Pararthyam. Let me make it very clear. It's a beautiful word actually. Paraha means other. Arthaha means for the sake of other. Parartha. Pararthyam is noun, Samji. Prakriti having the status of being contributive for the enjoyment and experience of the Atma. This is the long explanation. It is, this much I have to say in English, okay? Pararthyam. Means what? It's a noun form, Swamiji. Parartha. See, Prakriti Parartha. Prakriti is always for the sake of the Atma. Not for itself. Prakriti does not exist for itself. Got it, Samji? It's not Swartha, Parartha. Now you understand it better? Prakriti is not for Swartha. Prakriti is not Swartha. It is Parartha. Prakriti, there's some phenomenon called Prakriti, known as Pradhanam, the matter, is not here for itself. It is for the Atma. It is for the experiencer. So Prakriti, what does Prakriti do? Prakriti, the Pradhanam being here, okay, and it's activated by consciousness, and because of the many Atmas, Karmas, it becomes, you know, it's the three gunas become disturbed. And that way creation comes. So Prakriti contributes for the creation of the universe, creation of the objects, enjoyment of objects, and experience of pairs of opposites. If there's no Prakriti, what can Atma do sitting a poor Atma all by itself, himself? Understand? Atma without Prakriti, what will he do? Like how you are in sleep. When you are in sleep, how you are? What are you doing? You are there or not? Tell me. Can you say, I am asleep, I am not there? Can you say that? You must say, I am very much there in sleep. Not knowing I am. Not doing anything. Not knowing anything. I am just myself in sleep. If Prakriti is not there, Atma will be like that only. So Prakriti is there, therefore for Atma, isn't it? So just wait, that's called Pararthyam. Atma, Prakriti is not for, the phenomenon called Prakriti does not exist for itself. It is there for the sake of Atma. Therefore it is Parartha. And this Prakriti is having the status of being there for contributing. For the enjoyment of the world, the creation of the world, enjoyment of the world, experience of pairs of opposites. Can the experiencer? Atma. Isn't it? There will be many Atmas. So one Prakriti, okay, contributes for the enjoyment of varieties of different experiences of different atmas. For what? So that is the purpose of Prakriti. Therefore he says, Pradhanasya, Pradhanam is Prakriti. Parartyam, Parartya Anupapattihi Bheda Abhave. If there is absence of difference in the Atmas, if there is no plurality of Atmas, then very purpose of the existence of Prakriti will be meaningless, useless, redundant, isn't it? Irrelevantly redundant. Therefore, Atmas are many. Atmas must be many. This must be the thinking of a Sankhya philosopher. So Shankaracharya says, come on, if at all you are thinking this way, this is my answer for you. Bheda abhave pradhanasya parartyam anupapattihi iti chet. If there is this thinking in your mind that there'll be impossibility of the Prakriti having the status of being the contributive for the enjoyment of Atmas, if there's no plurality of Atmas, come on, here, this is my answer. First is na. Pradhana kritasya arthasya atmani asamavayat. The first reason he gives. The first, are you all following?
Yes.
Okay. Pradhana kritasya arthasya atmani asamavayat. The first reason he gives. Pradhana krita means what? Whatever is produced by pradhanam. Whatever is created, contributed by pradhanam. Okay, the matter. In the form of what? In the form of universe, in the form of beings, in the form of experience of pairs of opposites, whatever is produced by the Prakriti, Pradhanam, that is not associated with Atma. Asamavayat. See, Samavayaha means connection, association. Asamavayat, due to the non-association of anything produced by Prakriti on the part of Atma. There is no requirement of plurality of Atmas for Prakriti to lose its parartyam. Got it? See, whatever is produced by Prakriti. Pradhana kritasya arthasya. Pradhana kritaha arthaha means what? It can be sukham, it can be dukham, it can be jealousy, it can be hate, it can be anything. Anything produced by Prakriti. Everything is Prakriti only, isn't it? Anything produced by Prakriti in the form of mind, in the form of emotions, in the form of experience of pairs of opposites, pain, pleasure, jealousy, hatred, or freedom, bondage, anything. Anything produced by Prakriti for the enjoyment of Atma, even if you say, there is no connection with anything and the part of the Atma. Atmani asamavayat. The reason is given, okay? There is Atmani asamavayaha. There is no samavayaha. There is no inherence. There is no connection. There is no association with anything that is produced by Prakriti and the part of Atma. Like what? Let me give the example here. Now here, beautiful fragrance here in this hall. Does this fragrance touch this space? Fragrance, of course, exists in space only. Fragrance cannot exist anywhere else. There is puja was done, so this incense fragrance is there. Fragrance in this hall, does this touch, taint, affect this space? Even that exists in space. Or dirt here, or smoke here. It all exists in space only, but still space is untainted, asangaha. In the same way, and of course we also say atma asangaha. Advaitins also say Atma Hasangaha. This Dvaitin also says Atma Hasangaha. So, as per your own view, Atma is consciousness. Atma is Asangaha, untainted. Therefore, there is no way of Atma having any association, connection with anything produced by Prakriti. Unconnectedness, unassociation being there on the part of Atma with anything that is produced by Prakriti, there is no requirement of plurality of Atmas for Prakriti to be of useful. For Prakriti to be for Prakriti's existence to be meaningful. For Prakriti's existence to be non-redundant. Is it? This is the first answer. I thought of completing the whole thing today. Pradhana kritasya arthasya atmani asamavayat. This, you can say asamavayaha, can make it simply, a simple sentence. There is asamavayaha. Atmani asamavayaha. There is no samavayaha. Doesn't matter whatever Prakriti produces. Okay. Anyway, Atma asangaha. The simple answer. Atma asangaha. Whatever is produced by Prakriti, Atma is asangaha. There is asamavayaha on the part of Atma. Asangatam and the part of Atma. So what? Whatever Prakriti produces. Still Prakriti can produce. So Prakriti does not become redundant, does not become irrelevant if there's no plurality of Atmas. This is the answer. Okay. Number one. Yadihi pradhana kritaha bandha mokshova artaha purusheshu bhedena samaveti tataha pradhanasya parartyam atma ekatve na upapadyate iti yukta. Purusha bheda kalpana. If there is any connection, if atma is sangaha, he says, no? Let me tell you what exactly he says. I'll explain to later on. If what is produced by the Atma, Pradhanam, Pradhana Kritaha Mokshaha Bandaha Va Artaha. If what is this Moksha produced by Pradhanam, or caused by Pradhanam, or bondage caused by Pradhanam, okay, if it is associated with Purusha, Atma. Then it is possible to say, then we can accept, okay, there is plurality of jivas, sorry, plurality of atmas. One atma is, okay, this is there. What is produced by, caused by prakriti in terms of mokshaha, in terms of bondage or freedom. If it is associated, then it can, we can say it is not possible for this prakriti to be contributive, to be of use, if there is no plurality of jiva atmas. Unfortunately, there is no, Atma is not associated with anything produced by Prakriti Pradhanam. I'm going to stop here. You know why? The next thing I'll explain to you tomorrow morning. Because I need it more time to explain. So even though Sankhya views are taken, accepted to some extent, certain areas, 24 categories, the evolved, etc. With reference to this view of plurality of atmas is absolutely non-acceptable. Gaurapacharya's verse is very beautiful. Verse is simple and easy to understand, isn't it? Any smoke or dust obtaining in one part space doesn't become this smoke and dust of part space. In all other part spaces, or other space obtaining in other enclosures, that's enough. Very clear. But still, now his view is, there is prakriti. Prakriti alone contributes for the prakriti's gunas, become disturbed, and mahat comes, mind comes, the 24 categories come, the universe becomes evolved, there's a creation happens, and the objects of enjoyment, and purushas are sitting there enjoying the world. And they're involved in, okay, and there are doers. No karta. Purusha is not a karta. But what happens? Whatever is produced, whatever is caused by prakriti, all experiences, freedom, bondage, sukham, dukkham, even temporary pleasures and pains, other emotions, all are prakriti's products. Poor prakriti cannot market it, isn't it? Only buyer is this atma. She wants more atmas, more bites. That is the idea. So that is not appropriate reason here. So anyway, this I'll explain tomorrow, okay? Tomorrow fresh morning, as we come, we start, so it'll be okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.